is referred to as the Science Oscars of South Africa, as it is the largest, most comprehensive, and most sought-after national awards of its kind. The finalists in various categories have made a significantly outstanding contribution to science, engineering, and technology and innovation in South Africa, and qualifies to be considered as a potential winner. We speak this afternoon to Dr. Dylan Randall, who is a senior lecturer at the Department of Civil Engineering at the University of Cape Town, for more on these awards. Doctor, very good afternoon to you and welcome to Cape Talk.
Hi, thank you.
Explain to us the significance of these awards, and they are sort of very fondly named as the Science Oscars of South Africa. Why is that?
So I think it's probably because of the prestige that they bring. You know, it's quite competitive, and just being nominated is quite an accolade. But I think for me personally, it allows us to share the work while creating so-called paradigm shifts in the use of the novel technologies we have developed. So I think going forward, you know, it could actually help us achieve our ultimate goals.
These are the only science awards that are open, and you know, where the public can also nominate candidates. Is that an important part of the awards?
I think so. Although I was nominated by colleagues at UCT, so not by the general public. But yeah, I think that's definitely a good thing.
What is the theme for this year of the NSTF awards for this year? What is the theme that they've been carrying?
So I believe it's materials for inclusive economic development, and it's because it's the UN International Year of Periodic Table of Elements, so that's why they're focusing on materials.
Well, we're delighted to see that you've been nominated. Firstly, congratulations on the NSTF Lewis Foundation Green Economy Award, a Communications Award, and then secondly, tell us about the work that you and your team did to be nominated for this particular award.
Thank you. So we basically at the moment looking at recovering value from human urine. So I'm not sure if you would have heard, but last year we successfully grew a biobrick from human urine, and we also produced a fertilizer producing urinal. So essentially the urinal does not have to be connected to a sewage line. It's waterless, and it also produces a fertilizer. So essentially, I guess one of the reasons we were nominated in the Communication Award is because we've written a lot of articles about this kind of work, and the major emphasis or the reason for that is to try and create these so-called paradigm shifts, or at least change people's mindsets so that they're more willing to use, say, fertilizer that's produced from urine, and potentially even use biobricks. You know, imagine building a house that's grown from biobricks made from urine. So we have to change the way people think about so-called waste streams.
Chatting to Dr. Dylan Randall, he's a senior lecturer at the Department of Civil Engineering at the University of Cape Town. Just run us through this, because, you know, my mind boggles when it comes to what you've just explained to us. What is the impact of this? And, you know, we have global warming, we have the entire eco-awareness, and we have a lot of awareness around, especially in terms of the water restrictions and all the other things that we've had so far in and around Cape Town. What is the actual impact of this research?
Yeah, so it's a good question. Actually, I'm happy to say that for me, the drought was a blessing in disguise in terms of the work we do, because without the drought, we would not have developed the fertilizing producing urinal that essentially uses no water, but also converts a typical waste stream like human urine into valuable fertilizer. Added to that, we mine excessively to produce phosphorus, which is a key ingredient to any food that we grow. And what a lot of people don't really realize, that actually we're running out of natural phosphate rock. So if we aren't clever about it, and if we don't start recycling these so-called waste streams, so urine being one of them, we risk not being able to grow the food that we've become accustomed to because we can't make the fertilizer that we need to grow these kind of things. And then added to that, being in a period of a drought, you know, having systems that now substantially reduce your water consumption are also really relevant. So it's a double benefit, if you like. You're producing fertilizer, you're saving water, but then you're also converting this waste into useful products.
What would this mean to you if you would win this particular award, and what would the impact be on the civil engineering department at UCT?
Well, I think, one, it would be a good acknowledgement of all the hard work that my students have put into this over the past 3 years or so. But it would, more importantly, also highlight the pioneering work we do and kind of promote it, and then also help us, hopefully, change people's mindsets into adopting such initiatives.
Chatting this afternoon to Dr. Dylan Randall, Senior Lecturer, Department of Civil Engineering at the University of Cape Town. Now, you were the supervisor on this particular project, and you described this as liquid gold. Elaborate a little bit more on liquid gold.
So the reason we called it liquid gold is simply, if anyone's looked at their urine, they would see that it has the color that resembles the gold color. And the reason I allude to it as being liquid gold is essentially because of all the valuable products that you can essentially make from it. So typically we consider it a waste, but if we rethink it, we can see that actually we can recover a lot of valuable products from it, the so-called gold aspect of the urine.
How do you actually recover this? Do you put it through a process? Do you filter it? Do you go through, a particular, if you got a standard process, would I be able to, for instance, do it at home?
Yeah, good question. So when you want to make the solid fertilizer, so the way we do it in the urinal, it's actually very simple. You just have a empty container to which you add calcium hydroxide, which is typically called lime, and you add on a basis of 10 grams per liter of urine you're going to collect. And you just really urinate into the container, and within 30 seconds, you would have made your solid fertilizer. You could add that urine to your garden as is, or you could filter it to recover the solid product. But like I said before, the value is in the fact that you can actually get these valuable nutrients that can be used as fertilizer for food, for your garden and stuff like that. Mm. So we've actually seen quite a few people, because of this work, actually installing these makeshift urinals in their homes, simply because it saves them water. They don't have to, you know, urinate into a toilet and stuff like that, and then they actually then can use the urine as a fertilizer.
We got a WhatsApp message that's just come off our WhatsApp line on 0725671567. If you'd like to join this conversation, you can send us a voice note or a WhatsApp text message to that particular line. And somebody's asking, when will the brick be available for sale?
That's a good question. We're still a long way off from commercializing it. Just to give an example, we only make 3 bricks at a time. And the simple reason for that is we're really just at the process of optimizing the system. And so we still have a lot of more tests to do before we're completely happy with it. And then every effort would be made into commercializing it. But we don't have an exact timeline for that.
Did you actually use male urine in the manufacturing of this brick, or did you sort of use female urine also? Because, I mean, you started off by using only male urine. Is that still the case?
Yeah. So at the moment, we only focus on collecting male urine simply because it's easier to do so. But fortunately, there are unisex urinals. And so the ultimate goal is to actually collect urine from both men and females.
Another WhatsApp message coming in is this urine fertilizer not potentially be full of hormones?
It's another good question. So fortunately, the addition of the calcium hydroxide actually increases the pH of the fresh urine. So that's essentially how you get the solids forming. And while we haven't tested this, we hypothesize, and the literature confirms this, that the high pH actually degrades or destroys hormones. It actually also degrades pharmaceuticals. And so that's the other benefit. Not only do you produce a fertilizer, but you actually also kind of treat the urine so that it's safe to use afterwards.
Chatting to Dr. Dylan Randall, Senior Lecturer, Department of Civil Engineering at the University of Cape Town. We are talking about this brick made from your urine, if one could put it just very plain and sort of unscientifically, and would obviously change the way we look at things, because we've been through a drought and we know exactly what it is, and we know that we are flushing clean water into a toilet, which actually shouldn't be. And they've been sort of nominated for the National Science and Technology Forum Awards, which is referred to as the Science Oscars of South Africa. It is such a prestigious award. Any other nominated colleagues at UCT that you'd like to flag our listeners to keep an eye out for?
So there's actually, I think, quite a few. I think there's 9 of us in total. So I won't go through all the details. But yeah, if you go onto the NSTF website, you'll find a full list of all the nominees. But yeah, there's 9 nominees from UCT.
And the award is a good motivation to yourself and the other scientists to continue to produce this kind of innovation and high quality of work. How will you be able to sustain this kind of excellence? Because obviously, once you've set the benchmark there, you need to, you know, raise the bar from there.
Yeah. Again, a very good question. So I think personally, it increases the prestige and the interest in the kind of work we're doing. And personally, what I found is because of this kind of exposure, students actually now want to work in this field. And I'm hoping that with some really good investment from UCT and, you know, the general public and the public sector, that we actually start investing heavily in talented students. But more importantly, we motivate those students to pursue an academic career and not necessarily go out and work as they would. So we kind of have to make academia sexy and want students to actually do that. So I think, yeah, that would be a long-term goal. Mm. And then who knows, these very same students could end up being nominated as well.
Mm. Do you have, from, you know, the Department of Civil Engineering, do you have a youth outreach program to any of the schools in the area or in the Western Cape?
So we don't have it directly through the department, but we have it through UCT-run initiatives. So, for example, things like Engineers Without Borders or the Green Campus Initiative. And so that's a faculty-wide initiative.
Mm. The announcement of the winners will be made on the 21st, the NSTF Awards Gala Dinner on the 27th of June 2019 in Gauteng, and this will be done by the Minister of Science and Technology. Where can we follow you just to see that, you know, you'll be bringing this particular award home?
I'm not actually sure. I would imagine on Twitter.
If you had the millennials as part of your program, you'll be on Instagram, Twitter, and everything else.
We would be alerted very quickly.
Yeah. Chatting to Dr. Dylan Randall this afternoon, Senior Lecturer, Department of Civil Engineering at the University of Cape Town. How do we make civil engineering and engineering itself sexy for the young people out there?
So I think the most important thing is actually just to expose them to interesting kinds of work. So, you know, this entire urine-related work only started in 2017. And what I've seen over the years is that the students actually start getting really excited about it. But more importantly, you have to show them the kind of impact that it can have to society and the kind of future that we want in terms of sustainability and environmental affairs. And so once students understand that and they can see that, then I do think that it becomes sexy and that students would want to do engineering, because the doors are then open to endless possibilities.
Dr. Dylan Randall, good luck for the 27th of June. It's pretty much around the corner. And of course, he's a senior lecturer at the Department of Civil Engineering.